Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 12 in our Building a Hybrid Cloud series on TechNet Radio. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft and your host for today. And I have with me our good friend, Andy Serwich. Hi, Andy. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks, Keith.
Sure. Well, Andy, before we get started, do you want to spend just a couple minutes giving everybody a little bit of background on yourself and what you've been doing in the virtualization cloud space for the last few years?
Sure. And again, my name is Andy Serwich, and I am a virtual systems administrator with Trivalent Group. Trivalent Group is a services provider based in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area, and our focus is helping our customers manage, access, protect, and store our data. And that's done via a number of different ways, managed services, professional services, and we're starting to get into the cloud space as well. We've got our own cloud infrastructure, and I'm on the virtual systems admin side, I spend a lot of time maintaining that, working on it, and also working in some private cloud infrastructures on our customers' on-premise sites and things like that as well. So started primarily more on the VMware side, but have since kind of transitioned more into the Hyper-V System Center Azure space, just because the Microsoft platform has matured quite nicely over the last couple of years.
Cool. Well, and Andy, I know throughout our last couple episodes, you and I have walked through with everyone getting started with the Windows Azure pack to bring on-demand self-service capabilities, private cloud capabilities to either a customer's on-premises environment or for organizations like yourself, a hosting provider. Hosting providers have been using the Azure pack for delivering that type of on-demand self-service environment to their customers.
Yep.
And we've walked through kind of the basics of getting it set up, provisioning standalone VMs, allowing tenants to do that or provisioning on their behalf. I think the last episode we talked a little bit about automation and the remote desktop console access.
Yep.
But as you've been exploring the Azure pack, what do you see as kind of the next step? What should we talk about next, do you think, with everyone?
Well, from my point of view, as the service provider, the cloud provider, we spend a lot of time spinning virtual machines up, getting them configured and passing them off to the customer. Here you go. Here's your machine. Self-service, I think, is really where the game is going. If we can provide self-service to the end users, to the customers, that gives us more time to maintain the platform rather than spend that time spinning up virtual machines left and right and passing them out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And we've talked a little bit about self-service from kind of an individual VM by VM basis, but I know a lot of environments are looking for something a little more robust than that. When we were earlier in the series, when we were talking about private cloud management through Virtual Machine Manager, we briefly talked about the benefits of service templates, right, for being able to define kind of a multi-VM application architecture that had different tiers for web and application and database, and being able to scale up and scale down those individual tiers as needed and do release management around them. Are you finding a need for those types of aspects in your customer environments as well?
I think so, because generally we see that most cloud customers really have kind of a cookie cutter approach, because we know that each customer needs their own Active Directory infrastructure. They need file print, they might need RDS depending on their needs. And we find that every customer has at least a basic, similarity with other customers. And if we could bundle that all together and let the customer deploy it themselves, that saves us a lot of time. And it gets their service up and running a lot quicker, too.
Sure. And I imagine also, as you start thinking about hosting more complex application workloads like SharePoint or Exchange that involve not just Active Directory and some of the roles you were talking about, but within the application itself might involve multiple different application roles running across different VMs. Probably being able to package that up as an application that the customer can click, install, provision, and that be up and running quickly, and have all the supporting VMs behind that already in place, probably makes a lot of sense. Is that what you're seeing too?
Oh, absolutely. Because just time savings wise, that's really the big thing that we're looking at, because it takes time to architect a solution every single time, deploy each VM individually, get it all set up and working. If we can cookie cutter the entire environment and roll it out en masse, again, the time savings are astronomical. And we've taken our labor from, you know, five people to two people or whatever, you know. So it's definitely a good way to go.
Awesome. And in terms of the Azure Pack, really where the Azure Pack supports that is through the Virtual Machine Gallery that gives us sort of a service template-like capability of being able to, you had mentioned architect, kind of architect your service offerings, your application offerings once with the right configuration of VMs and network connectivity and storage and operating system images and data disks. Do that once, package it up as a multi-VM template item, a resource item in the virtual machine gallery, and then be able to dole that out to various tenants based on the plans, the subscription plans that they're assigned within the Azure Pack environment. Do you think it makes sense to maybe swing over to the lab and walk through the basics of virtual machine gallery items and roles and resources with everyone?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, great. Well, I'll meet you over in the lab in a few minutes and we'll walk through it together.
All right, sounds good.
Well, hey, Andy, thanks for joining me over in our lab.
Yeah, no problem.
We're on the console of one of our management servers with the virtual machine manager console installed on it. And one of the really cool things about the Windows Azure Pack and the virtual machine gallery resources is that the building clouds team has done a really excellent job of giving us lots of pre-built resources that we can use as a starting point for various application workloads. And in fact, what I usually recommend to people when you're getting started with the virtual machine gallery in the Azure Pack is to just install a few of those base resources, play around with them, and get familiar with how they work, and then think about taking it to the next step, building your own resources. The cool thing is it all integrates with the web platform installer. So if I go over to my start screen on my management server and just launch the web platform installer, go ahead and launch that. This is the same installer that IT pros commonly use for doing things like installing different PowerShell modules, like the Azure PowerShell module, or developers use for installing and updating Visual Studio or software developer kits or whatnot. But you'll notice here, in addition to products and applications, I've also got this new option in my copy of the web PI for service models. I've got all these various Azure Pack pre-built gallery resources that are there. The way that I got this service models tab in my web platform installer is I went down to my options link down here at the bottom, and I added in a new feed for the platform installer to pull additional packages from. So this service models XML is actually a feed that the Azure Pack and Building Clouds team maintains, so that as they release new packaged resources for the Azure Pack virtual machine gallery, they update this feed. The next time you launch the web platform installer, after you've added that feed in, you'll automatically see those resources. So we've got all kinds of SQL Server 2014, 2012, even Oracle. We've got a great example for getting started building your own virtual machine roles in the VM gallery. Link, Exchange, SharePoint. Scroll down a little further. We've got various versions of Windows Server, so 2012 R2 Essentials. We've got Linux. We've got all kinds of stuff. And so what I'm going to do is, as you're getting started, my recommendation is start off simple and build from there to get an understanding of how this stuff works. So I'm just going to scroll down and pick one of the base Windows Server 2012 R2 gallery resources and just add that in. So I'll add that in as something I wish to install. I can add a whole bunch in if I want to install them all. Click the install button and it'll go through asking me to accept the terms and whatnot, and it'll very quickly install that package. The package itself doesn't have any software, any like virtual hard disks or anything like that with it, so it normally installs pretty quickly. So it'll tell you where it's going to install to. In this case, by default, all these gallery resources install to your system drive under the gallery resources folder. And as you continue through, it'll actually just explode that out then for you and show you where it's placing that. So we've got two files that it brought down. This other file here is a copy of the file I had from prior, some prior work I was doing. But it'll have a README file, and then in this case it has a resource definition package file. You may see additional files as well if there's custom resources, like scripts or things of that nature that also get brought down. But the README file in each of these packages does a great job of helping you get started with what you need to know that's unique about this particular resource package to get it integrated with the Azure pack. So if I open up that README, it's going to launch it in WordPad right on my management server, and it'll show me the basic files that are included. This particular package doesn't have any custom scripts or anything, so there's no resource extensions. It just has a resource definition. And this resource definition file includes the basic configuration that the Azure pack would need to spin up a scalable set of Windows Server 2012 R2 VMs, either running Data Center or Standard or Essentials Editions. Now, in order to use this resource package, you do need to build your own operating system virtual hard disk. So typically you'd bring up Hyper-V, create a new virtual machine, install Server 2012 R2 inside of that, either Data Center, Standard, or Essentials, and then customize it with whatever code or additional settings you need, and then sysprep it, just like you would if you were building any type of operating system image. You'd run the sysprep tool, tell it to generalize it, shut down, and then take that virtual hard disk that you've just sysprepped and bring it into your VMM library. So before we go through the rest of the stuff in the README file, the very first step is to go over into our virtual machine manager console. Once we've gotten that sysprepped virtual hard disk created, drill over into the library area, and we'll import that virtual hard disk as a new resource. So we'll click on Import Physical Resource, click on Add Resource, and then just browse out to the virtual hard disk file that we sysprepped from the VM that we built. So in this case, I built a Windows Server 2012 R2 base VM that has my sysprepped image installed. I just open that up and import it, and it'll bring it into the library. I've already saved a little bit of time. I've already done that piece. So as we go down a little further, we'll see here's the imported virtual hard disk that I brought into my library. Now, in order for the Azure pack to know that this virtual hard disk image is associated with this Azure pack gallery resource that we're going to be importing, that operating system virtual hard disk has to have some special properties tagged on it when it's sitting in the VMM library. It has to be tagged with a valid operating system name, and the README files all tell you what these tags have to be for each resource package that you install. It has to be tagged with an operating system name, a family name, and then a set of additional tags that are used to qualify that virtual hard disk. And basically, the reason these tags are there is the resource package has the intelligence built into it. When a tenant spins up a resource using this resource package, it will look in VMM for a hard disk that meets these criteria, that has one of these supporting operating system, family, and tag names. And if it's only one virtual hard disk, it'll automatically default to that one. If it's multiple, it'll give them a choice of which of the hard disks they want to use as their base operating system template. So you can have different Windows Server 2012 R2 images, for instance, from that standpoint. So in order to put these properties on the virtual hard disk, I typically use PowerShell to do that. And so if we swing over into our PowerShell ISE, you'll see I've got some PowerShell commandlets, just a few lines that I'm using to set the operating system virtual hard disk. So I'm using git sc virtual hard disk to pull back from our library the virtual hard disk we just updated and store that in my VHD. And then I'm storing the operating system name that I wish to tag this virtual hard disk with into a variable called VMOS. and then I'm setting that VMOS property on the hard disk. But once I've done that, when you look in the VMM console, you'll see this operating system column showing that name when you refresh your library. So that's the first step. Second step is to get the family name in there, and it's a very similar process. So we would just use, define our family name as a string value. We also have a release number that normally, if you're importing a new virtual machine resource, is going to be 1.0.0.0. You can use this for version control across your various resources as you update them and whatnot. That way you know the right resource package is matching the right version of the hard disk image. And then we set that family and release value on our hard disk using the set SE virtual hard disk command lit again, but pass it in the family name and release parameters. Once I've got that done, then over in VMM, the family name will show up. And if we right click and go into properties, you'll see the release there as well. So that's where you can confirm those items. And last step is to set those tags in place. So the tags are actually can be, you know, multiple tags associated with a virtual hard disk in VMM. And so the code I'm using checks, it pulls back the list of current tags on the hard disk, and it checks to see if the list of tags doesn't currently contain the two tags that I want. It adds each of those tags in. So the first line adds in the Windows Server 2012 tag, the second line adds in the R2 tag, and then again I use set SE virtual hard disk as my commandlet to pass in the final resulting list of tags. So all that does is it helps to take this hard disk image that I've created and associate it with the resource package, the resource definition package. So that when I import that into the Azure Pack admin console, it knows which hard disk to use. Make sense so far? Any questions so far, Andy?
No, it looks good. Looks good. The only question I would ask is that the PowerShell document you've got there, I imagine we're probably going to put that down at the end of the page at once this video is posted, correct?
Yep, definitely. Yeah, okay. There's a great set of resources that everyone should see down at the bottom of the page, to the Building Clouds blog, to the TechNet wiki for that's kind of the authoritative space for adding new virtual machine resource gallery items, and to some articles on our blogs as well. And the PowerShell is in that TechNet wiki article. Yep, definitely. Correct. So you have access to that.
Yep, everyone's going to want to save that one for sure.
Great. Yep, definitely. Yeah. So now that we've got our hard disk in our VMM library with the appropriate operating system, family name, release, and tags, we're ready to take this this package that we downloaded. So remember, I downloaded that over into my C Gallery Resources folder, this resource definition package, and imported into the Azure Pack, or the Azure Pack admin portal. Now, a lot of people ask, what format is this resource definition package in? And it's actually in a zip format. It doesn't have a zip extension. But if you wanted to ever see what's inside one of these packages to learn more about the architecture for building your own resource items, all you have to do is copy it to a new file and then rename it with a .zip extension. And once you do that, you can actually open it up and look inside that file, that resource definition package. So it's using a similar approach to how the later versions of Microsoft Office, for instance, use a similar zipped XML format for storing Office documents. The resource package definition packages use that same type of format. And you'll see inside here that generally every resource definition package has a resdef file. And if we go ahead and open that up, you'll see it's a JSON formatted file that gives the specific settings that can be configured or passed through when provisioning new virtual machines from this role item. So we've got things like VM size, we've got IP address, name for NICs and whatnot, admin credentials, computer name, time zone, workgroup names, things of that nature. So basically it's just a JSON formatted file that has all of the potential settings and specifies where the Azure Pack should go to get those settings. So if you see things like param dot and then a variable name, that's basically saying that it's going to go and grab that off of a parameter that's being passed through as part of the provisioning process. Now, for the items that we would want to prompt a tenant for, maybe like computer name or workgroup name or size of VM or whatnot, the viewdef file inside the package specifies those values. So for anything that we'd want to prompt for, like VM size, for instance, where we want to have different sizes like extra small, small, medium, large, and whatnot, for the operating system virtual hard disk, if there were multiple. And you'll see here's where it's actually looking for some of that information we saw a little earlier, looking for hard disks with the particular tags it's requiring. For how the IP address is going to be allocated dynamically or statically. So the intelligence inside this viewdef file is basically driving the user interface that the tenant's going to see in the tenant portal. It's as they provision that VM. It's giving them the list of fields they're prompted for and the choices and whatnot. And then these other files are either language-specific string files for labels and whatnot, or they're additional graphics files that are used as part of the wizard. So that's basically what's inside this package. It's not really any mystery. It just takes a little bit of time to create those files in that JSON format. The cool thing is that the Building Clouds blog team, they've actually developed and released a GUI-based authoring tool. So you don't have to use Notepad or your favorite text editor to build these JSON files manually. You can basically step through their authoring tool, you can download it right from the Building Clouds blog using the link at the bottom of the page, and use that to help author your own new custom gallery resources for the Azure Pack. Now that we know a little bit about the structure of these resources, once we've got our resources, our resource definition package that we want to import, we just drop over to the admin portal of the Azure Pack, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to swing over into VMM. What I've done in VMM is I've actually got some custom add-ons that I use, some add-in actions on my VMM console, to be able to jump to other portals like App Controller, the Azure portal, or the Azure Pack admin and tenant portal. So I'm just going to use this to quickly jump over into my admin portal, and it'll prompt me to authenticate. So I'll go ahead and log in.
Seems to always take the longest in demos, doesn't it?
So here we are in the admin portal. It's coming up. And over under the virtual machines cloud area, we drill into those properties. That's where previously in our prior episodes, we added in our VMM management server and could see our various clouds that we were providing tenant access to from that VMM management server. What we would want to do for our clouds to import this new resource item is we'd actually drill over to this gallery page. So I'm going to click on gallery, and you'll see I've already got my gallery resource imported, but all I did is I went down to the bottom, clicked import, and then browsed out to that resource definition file, that zip format file that we were just looking at. So I'll just browse out, go over to C, gallery resources, and pick that resource definition package. So I just open it, click the complete button, and it'll import it for me. Once I've got that imported, I can drill into the details of it, and you'll see that it brought through from that resource package a description, publisher, version number. All of that was inside that resource package as well. But initially, this will be set for private access, which means when it's private, even if you assign it to a tenant as part of a plan, they won't see it. The reason you might want to leave it private is maybe this is a gallery item that you're trying to use on behalf of a tenant for provisioning their environment automatically for them, maybe using some automation like we talked about in some of our earlier episodes with Azure, with the service management automation. If you want tenants to be able to see this new gallery resource item, down at the bottom here, this make private button will be initially called make public. It's a toggle button. You click on it, and then it'll make it as a publicly accessible, publicly visible version of a gallery item. Once you've got it public, well, then you can go over to your plans and determine in your plans which plans and subscribers do you want to make this new resource item available to. So I'll go into my developer plan that we had set up a little earlier in our previous episodes. And under my plan services, virtual machine clouds, we just scroll down to the same place we go to specify all of our resource limits and whatnot. We scroll down a bit further. Here's where we had our standalone templates added in from VMM earlier. And right underneath the standalone templates are where these gallery items can be imported. So I've already imported that. Before this was there, there was an add gallery item choice here because I don't have any more gallery items to add. Now it's a remove gallery item choice. And so now it's available. So at this point, I've done my work from an admin standpoint, and I can tell my tenants, hey, go over to your Azure Pack tenant portal, browse in, log in with your tenant credentials, and you should see this new set of resources that you can now provision. So I'll go ahead and move over to my tenant portal, and I'll log in as one of my tenants. I'll log in as developer 02 at Contoso at the tenant portal. Specify my password. And from a tenant standpoint, it'll bring up my tenant portal. Give that a moment to come up.
You know what I really like about the whole concept of the the app gallery is it's essentially an app store for enterprise services.
Yep, definitely.
And I mean, from a service provider's perspective, or maybe for like a larger corporate environment where you're providing self-service for a number of different organizations or departments inside your company, you're really providing that app store type of service. It just adds a whole new level of good service to your customers or your internal departments.
Definitely. And what I really like about it from an IT pro standpoint is I'm seeing in a lot of the organizations that I talk to based on the growing comfort level that business users and developers have with cloud type technologies, that as IT pros, if we don't start providing our internal or external customers with this type of kind of on-demand self-service templatized configuration, the bad part of it is if we don't provide that in a way that we can manage and control, it's not going to stop business units in our organization or developers from going out and finding a way to get this done, right?
Yep.
And that's what that whole shadow IT concern is about in a lot of organizations, right? Where these business units or business analysts or developers have gone out and they've provisioned their own resources that IT doesn't even know about now.
Now you've got a bigger problem on your hands at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So by leveraging some of these technologies, it encourages people to, in your organization, to be able to easily spin things up, still have it completely under IT's control. Because remember, behind all this, we still have all those great VMM fabric management and policies and template capabilities that allow us to control resources and role-based access and whatnot, but at the same time empowering business users, business analysts, business unit IT or developers to be able to take advantage of this. So that's a great point. So now we've got our tenant portal up and running, and you'll see here's one of my standalone VMs that we provisioned in an earlier episode. If I drill over to the virtual machines page and click on new, we'll see that we also have virtual machine role here. And if I go into quick create, under quick create, we'll see the image. Remember, that's the virtual hard disk image that we had selected. If we had more images or more roles that we had defined, this would be a drop list and allow us to pick the various images. But the real cool piece of this is when we drill into the gallery, because that gives self-service users the ability to do more configuration. So I go into my virtual machine role gallery, and here's that gallery resource item that we just imported for Server 2012 R2. I'll click Next. I'll provide a computer name for this new virtual machine role that I'm configuring. You'll see that if I had multiple versions, the user themselves can actually select which version they want, which is kind of cool because as you're stepping through things like dev and test environments or UAT or production releases, it allows you to expose those particular versions directly out to your users. I'll click Next, and now it'll ask me for configuring how much in terms of resources I'd like to assign to this. If I had multiple operating system images that were tagged similarly with the same tags in VMM, I can pick my operating system disk image. I could have also included data disk images. I didn't do that. My IP address allocation method and address type. So all of these fields, remember that view definition we were looking at inside the resource definition package, that JSON file? All of these fields are being driven from that view definition. Our logical network, scroll down a little further, our admin username and password, our computer name for our virtual machine, and this is actually a pattern because what we're doing here is we're not necessarily just spinning up a single virtual machine, remember, we're actually spinning up what could be a collection of virtual machines. So we've got the ability to specify an instance, an initial instance count, how many initially do we want to provision under this role, and then minimum and maximum instance counts. How much do we want to scale up or scale down across this? And the Azure pack will handle, by working with VMM, it'll handle that scaling for us from that standpoint. So it gives us a lot of power. So when we're configuring a role, we're really getting away from looking at it as configuring a VM on an application on a VM by VM basis. And instead, we're taking that step back to look at how can we configure this application, and then for each of those tiers, specify the virtual machine settings and the range of instances that we wish to support for that. Does that make sense?
Sure does, yeah. I mean, really what you're doing here is you're enabling extra elasticity for this application. You're defining what the mins and maximums are as far as scalability goes.
Yep, definitely. Now, if, as a little tip, if you guys get to this page, when you're configuring your new imported virtual machine roles as a tenant, and it's blank, here's a little tip, because I actually ran into this myself, and I had to figure out what was going on. if this is blank, it generally means that the Azure pack can't find a library that has a virtual hard disk in it that has the tags on it it's looking for. And the most common reason for that is in VMM, if we go over to our virtual machines and services, we need to make sure that the library that we imported our virtual machine into is actually a library that's associated with the cloud that we're exposing through the Azure pack. So we were using the developer's cloud. If I go into the properties of my developer's cloud on the library tab, we need to make sure that the VMM library share that we had imported that virtual hard disk into is listed there. If it's not, we can add it in, click OK, and then go down to library, refresh our library, make sure the virtual hard disk is showing properly with all of the family name, operating system name, release values, and whatnot. And then log, after you've done that, just log out and log back into the tenant portal. And this page should come up as a page that has all the fields on it. The Azure Pack virtual machine gallery resources are written so that if it can't find a supporting image, it doesn't display any of the settings because it doesn't want to allow someone to try to configure something that it can't find the right operating system disk for. So it's a little bit of a tip because I ran into that myself. Just so you're not spinning your gears. Yourself. That's the easy solution for that problem.
Can't really deploy something it doesn't have anything to deploy with.
Yep, definitely. And that's it. I mean, for all of these other resources that we looked at, resource packages that we looked at, it's basically the same standard process that we just went through of adding in the resource package. Now, some of these resource packages may have a resource extension as well that has custom scripts inside of it. And that same page that we were talking about for PowerShell scripts also has the code. If there's a resource extension that's included with the package, if it exists for a particular particular package, all you have to do is import it into your VMM library share. So basically, this is the code for setting a variable to the path of your VMM library share, setting a variable to the location of the resource extension package that has all those custom scripts and code and whatnot inside of it, and then importing that resource extension into your library share. So just three lines of PowerShell to be able to do that. So PowerShell, don't be scared of it. It's something you definitely want to learn. If you're not currently comfortable with PowerShell, there's no better time than the present. PowerShell is really, going forward, I think, going to be one of the key core skills that IT pros are leveraging across private cloud, public cloud, hybrid cloud scenarios to take the standards that a lot of us typically did in service operating procedure documents and whatnot in the hardware world and operationalize it in the cloud world. And I know, Andy, you've got a lot of great PowerShell resources on your blog. I do as well. And there's certainly the Scripting Guys blog and the TechNet Script Center that has all kinds of additional support for PowerShell all over the place.
Oh, yeah. It's something that is not going away. And, I mean, even if you're not doing anything overly complex with it, just start doing little things with it. Just put your toe in the water and just start tinkering with it, because eventually you're going to see how it applies to you and your organization and how it can make your job easier.
Definitely. Hey, well, we're done in our lab, so why don't we head back to the office, Andy?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, I'll see you back at your desk. So we just finished up a bunch of work over in our lab and getting virtual machine gallery resource items imported into a virtual machine gallery. Now, you may be thinking, some of you out there may be thinking, geez, that's a lot more work up front than just building a new VM on my current virtualization platform. But the key thing is, and Andy, I don't know if you agree with this or not, key thing is take all that time that you're spending over weeks and weeks of work provisioning incremental individual VMs for all your different pockets of users. Take a percentage of that, invest it up front, build your resource packages, get them imported as gallery items, and then let your users do that provisioning based on the logic that you've put in place. Once it's done, once correctly, you don't have to worry about it. You can move on to other stuff.
If you're going to do it once, if you're going to do it more than once, sorry. If you're going to do it more than once, just automate it. Save yourself the time.
Yep, definitely. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us in today's episode. We've got lots of exciting stuff coming up down the road in future episodes of the Azure Pack and some of the new features and in the Microsoft Azure Public Cloud Service as well. So I hope you'll join us. Andy, thanks again to you for joining us as well on today's episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure thing. And be sure to check out, everybody, the resources that are down at the bottom of the page. Really great resources for helping you to take what you've seen Andy and I demonstrate today to the next step in your own environments and begin leveraging private and hybrid cloud technologies on your terms in ways that apply and help automate and streamline your operations to give you more time back for doing the fun part of your job as an IT pro, being able to influence the strategic direction of IT within your organization. Thanks again, everybody. See you next time on TechNet Radio.
Have a good one.